We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, it's the PM team. Andrew Filippone on vacation as he ably held down the fort in my absence. Let's be honest, it's probably easier for him to deal with me not here. He's like, oh, God, I don't have that guy making weird asides anymore. And I heard, although I wasn't, I confess, I was not logging on to radio.com every day. I wasn't at 937thefan.com listening to the show. I heard through a little birdie that Andrew took me to task on the air, no less, was not happy with me, chided me. 4 o'clock hour. I have a response, and you're going to hear it. But this was Neil Huntington. Neil Huntington's got plans with a guy whose name has been bandied about in trade talks a lot, Felipe Vasquez. Here's Neil Huntington talking about what those plans with Felipe Vasquez are.
If we were not in a situation we were expecting to lose 100 games next year, then it's a different approach. But our expectation is to have be right back in this. If we don't get there this year, to be right back in this next year, and to have a guy like that at the back end is really important.
All right. Wait till next year. If we're not in it this year, this guy's important. Fine. Fair. Okay. But then there's this.
It's our job. The rumor mill takes it where it takes it. But we always have to entertain ways to make this organization and ideally this current club better. But sometimes you make the future clubs better. But we fully anticipate Felipe will be closing the next playoff games that we're a part of.
So he ended that with the big, hey, and listen, in Neil Huntington's mind, I suspect he firmly believes that. And it would be weird if he didn't. He's the GM. I think he intends for a team that he builds either this or next year, failing this year, and things aren't looking good right now, and I think he would be, he has been. I'm going to give him credit. I think he's pretty upfront when things aren't going well. He acknowledges that it's not all sunshine and rainbows. He acknowledges his own failings, maybe even over-acknowledges them, right? If he didn't say that, I would be like, dude, what are you doing then? Why are you working here? He should expect that he's going to get a team in the playoffs. However, that is the loud part. That is what you say for whatever percentage of your fans you think want to hear that Felipe Vasquez isn't going anywhere. And I think there is a vocal group of fans that are like, no, you can't wave the white flag that way. You have him on a ridiculously team-friendly deal. He's awesome at what he does. He's an asset. You don't move assets like that, especially if you're in the Pirates' shoes. And payroll is always going to be something that is never going to rise to the level of, say, the Cubs. Never going to rise to the level of, really, the Cardinals or the Dodgers. You take assets that you have under on a very good deal, and you keep them. But the quiet part here, and I'm going to play this one more time for you, and I'll stop it after the quiet part, is what matters to me.
It's our job. The rumor mill takes it where it takes it. But we always have to entertain ways to make this organization and ideally this current club better. But sometimes you make the future clubs better. But we fully anticipate Felipe.
All right, that's enough. You know what he said at the end. We have to entertain it. We have to field it. If people throw offers, we can't just say, la, 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 we're not taking your calls. And that is heartening to me that he threw that in there. And I think he threw that in there as kind of, you can hear it in his voice. He threw that in, we'll listen, we'll pick up the phone. And sometimes that is what it is. Sometimes when a team says that or a general manager says that, regardless of sport, he means it. He's like, yeah, we'll pick up the phone, but I mean, we're not gonna bend over backwards trying to consummate a deal here. Now, when Jim Rutherford said it about Phil Kessel, but I mean, there's cause to believe in Neil Huntington that he thinks he's got something here. He looks at Reynolds. He feels like Bell, even though he's slumping post-All-Star break, is going to get back going. He feels like he's got some pieces. Kevin Newman. There are some guys here that I think he clearly feels good about. Like, he's had certain things break in his favor Like, he's had certain players emerge that make him confident that next year's team actually can do big things and that his pitching won't be gutted by injuries and what have you and underperformance and so on, right? He's got his reasons. But I sure hope, man, do I hope, that Neil Huntington is, when he says essentially that he's going to listen, he'll pick up the phone, they'll field offers, if somebody makes them one, they're not going to just ignore it out of hand. I hope he's being serious. Because look at what's going on right now. Look at where they are. They're 5.5 out in the division. They've got 4 with the Cardinals. Now listen, you sweep the Cardinals and maybe the Cubs unexpectedly get beat up on by the Giants and the Brewers kind of stumble around against the Reds. You carve a bunch of games off that really quickly, then we can talk a little bit. If you carve three, this takes a Cubs being swept, you sweeping the Cardinals, and the Brewers at worst taking 2 of 3 from Cincy, then we talk. Then we look at this a little differently on morning of July 26th, if they've won 4 in a row. Because then they're 6-7 after the break, and that's treading water. That happens in baseball. But man, I mean, read the tea leaves here. I think Neil Huntington has been too. It was a team that was, by virtue of its place in the by virtue of the division that it was playing in a race when, had it been in other divisions throughout baseball, it would have been out of the race. And he said, I got to honor what these guys did. They battled back from a low point, and they're going to have to battle back, by the way, from another one if they're going to make any kind of hay this year. And he said, I'm not going to sell off players. If the time comes where you're 8 or 9 under, guess what? Whether you think next year's team is a contender or not, you have a chance to really bolster them and perhaps future teams by trading your best asset. It is not a popular move. It's a move that absolutely would get the usual kind of catcalls, I think, from certain corners, but I think it would be the right move. If Felipe Vasquez, and I'm not going to delve into the specifics here of what players are worthy or not, because everyone's going to have their opinions, but if somebody makes you an offer, like in court, that a reasonable person's going to conclude is pretty good, you take it. It's pretty. If somebody was letter grading the offer and they said, hey, this is an A, this is a hard A, take it. And then I think this is the other thing that Neil Huntington has working in his favor that would support the idea of, oh, you love Felipe Vasquez, you love what he brings to the table, but you know that maybe keeping him is not your best bet. I think this factor, what I'm going to play here from Neil Huntington, and I think this is going through his head, I think this is what really should determine maybe his course of action or what should play largest right now with him.
July 31st could be a really interesting day because the energy and effort is still primarily on the bigger names, and are they available first and foremost, and then what's the acquisition cost. But on July 30th, July 31st, those teams are looking to add some depth players. They're going to have to make those moves on July 31st. The interesting part about it is even guys that are outrighted, guys who are on a major league contract at any point this year can't be moved after July 31st.
Yes, there is no waiver trade deadline like there has been in past years. That is new this year. And he talked about depth guys at the end of that. But riddle me this. Tell me if this sounds familiar. I'm just going to spitball one here. A team maybe unexpectedly in contention, or on a tear that thrusts them into contention where they feel like they could make a splash and get one big-name guy. Maybe it's a Vasquez, a back-end-of-the-bullpen guy. It's a glaring, glaring weakness on their team. They have, I could look up blown saves leaders by team this year, and I'm sure I'd find at least one contender who's had a miserable bullpen run, right? Okay, you with me still? Cubs bullpen wasn't very good. They got Kimbrel. So you're a team on July 30th to 31st that says we are one elite closer away from making that push, and we are willing to overpay for that player. We think that if we can get an elite bullpen arm and a lefty at that, that we are in great shape, and we are going to overpay to do it. Our team has won games. Maybe they've won 11 in a row around the All-Star break. Oh, wait, I'm tipping my hand here. And a team is willing to give up a lot for one player in return, an established commodity with years of team control at a very good price left. How could you not jump on that deal? The Pirates did it last year as the buyer, and they paid a lot. And they got Chris Archer, and Chris Archer has been a disappointment. But what he's talking about there, July 31st being a hectic day, that's just human nature, is it not? You're a team that has been banging on doors, asking about players, wondering about prices, and it's getting down to closing time, and you have to make a split-second decision. Do we want to push the chips in or not? We're on the clock here. You don't think that compels people to pick back up a phone that they might have hung up and said, no way, we're not giving up that much, and say, you know what, we'll do it? That's how deals get done. What becomes or what isn't palatable for a team a day, 3 hours, 2 weeks before suddenly becomes such when there's 5 minutes left and hey, are we doing this or are we not doing this? That's how it works. Just to look at a team that might just say, I mean, the Dodgers are always out there as a team. Just say, you know what, we're going to stack it this time so nobody can beat us. What about the Brewers in your own division? I'm not saying the Pirates would, but if you're out of it and they're in it, King's ransom. The Washington Nationals can't feel like they're out of it. Their bullpen sucks. Whew! Their bullpen is junk. It makes me want to puke. You don't think the Washington Nationals, who have rallied from a horrid start to their season. They're not going to catch Atlanta most likely, but they could. You never know. But they are very much there for a wild card. You don't think that it would behoove them, potentially, if they thought, hey, we can shore up the bullpen, we'll have this guy back, we traded him away, we're going to right or wrong here. You don't think that would factor into their mindset and say, we want this guy back, they signed him to a ridiculously friendly deal, we'll have him, we won't make the same mistake twice. Our fans are mad because Bryce Harper didn't come back, but we're contending. And by the way, we're ahead of the Phillies where he is, so we're going to try to push some chips in here and earn some goodwill. And by the way, we're Washington. We can get away with this. You don't think that might happen? It could. And if it does, I would hope Neil Huntington has no compunction about saying, you give me enough, let's make a deal. Up next, and by the way, you can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. I did something possibly not advisable. Possibly. But it was a decision that like if this was a train coming down the tracks, my wife and I had a very long time to prepare for it. And I think we're going to be fine. But it is a big thing. I will tell you what I did. I will put up a Twitter poll after I explain what I did. And you can tell me if you feel like this was a good decision, bad decision. All right? I'm going to throw that out there next. I'll tell you, we'll play a little game of did Chris screw up? Which the answer usually is an automatic yes to that question, but I'd like you to hold your responses until the end. Coming up next, it's the PM team on the Fan. Follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations North Huntington and the North Hills. This is going to be a very interactive segment, in a way. JerMichael Finley, former NFL tight end, currently producing this show, he'll get a chance to quickly sound off on this. I'm going to put up a Twitter poll at the end of the segment after I have laid out the kind of case, situation, whatever you want to call it. And then at the beginning, in like 15 minutes, at like 3:45 or so, I will have the early results of the Twitter poll that will be based on this segment. You can follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFans, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations North Huntington and the North Hills. PM team, of course. Andrew Filippone is on vacation. I am back from vacation, managed to catch like some sort of a slight cold, which has no real ill effects other than hurting my voice, which is good that I work in a field that doesn't require my voice to be reasonably healthy on a regular basis. I don't know how Scott Farrell does it. Scott Farrell sounds like he is losing his voice every minute and yet just churns through 4 hour after 4 hour show like that. God bless him for it. Here's the tale of the tape, right? Like if this were a boxing match, we're going reach, we're going weight, stance, are they orthodox, are they southpaw? Tale of the tape, Chris and Alex, husband and wife. each one working a full-time job that requires a varying degree of hours and commitment. She's a nurse, doesn't work a traditional five-day week. I'm a sports guy, my job isn't real, and does not require necessarily the traditional eight-hour day in the way most people think of a nine-to-five. Still a lot of work, just some of it can be done at home, and is. 4 hours of it require me to be on the tightrope talking to all of you. My loyal listeners. My loyal listeners, right? So, baby, 8 months old. Dog, 3.5 years old, with a Napoleon complex. Little 11-pound dog that we can pick up when he's bad, which is often. Nice to us, not nice to other dogs. Nice enough to the baby, doesn't really care. Baby, mobile, has not stopped moving since he started moving. As far as crawling goes, loves to get into everything. House, not ideally suited for this number of inhabitants, canine and otherwise. So what did we do? Went and got another dog that's going to be bigger than Lance, the dog. That's as big as him right now at 8 weeks old. That is not trained in any way. Lance, for all of his warts, trained. Oh, yes, trained. Like the trains, runs on time, does what he's supposed to do, where he's supposed to do it, with about 99.5% accuracy. Current dog, I get a text from Alex. He's hoarding toys in his crate. He's stealing all of the dog's toys and taking them. Did I make a good decision here? We had originally intended to get dog number two before baby number one came along, but life got in the way, if you will. The timing did not work out. We put it off as long as I felt was reasonable. And there was a non-refundable portion of this whole escapade that sort of precipitated me saying, oh no, we're doing this. Second dog to add to other dog and baby. Good idea, bad idea, very simple question. And it's going to go up on Twitter. We named it Larry, by the way. Jermikey, you're the owner of a small, possibly yippy dog. Bigger dogs, generally better behaved once you get past the initial stage. Thoughts?
I think you made a good decision.
You think I made a good decision? I do too, but I feel like the next couple weeks are going to be very trying for me.
Well, yes, but at the end of this trying couple of weeks, you're going to realize how great of a purchase it was.
Let's extend it to like a month. Let's be honest here. This is probably going to be at least a full month. It's probably going to be the Steelers will be down 17-0 in the first quarter against the Patriots before this probably starts to turn my way.
I still think it was a good choice. Right. You guys are going to be happy with that dog.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's terrified of the baby. Terrified. Baby comes crawling over, laughing his head off. Dog circles behind me like he doesn't know what to do. I was sitting there today going, man, I can do this. I can handle this. But this is a hell of a lot of work coming down the pike. Like, it's going to be one of those, I don't know, it was on while I was on vacation. We had the TV on that Mila Kunis movie, the Bad Moms movie, where she's just going nonstop from thing to thing that she needs to do. And screwing half of them up, but doing her best. Like, you're rooting for her because she's trying very hard. That is going to be me. Why is the dog peeing on the kitchen floor? Why is the baby trying to, like, throw his bottle through the TV? And why is the other dog staring at me angry? That's going to be me for about a month. But I think I'm in good... You know what, Jermike? I'm glad you voted yes. I'm going to put the poll question up at the end of this segment. I feel like the rest of our listeners on this show are not going to be as kind and are going to tell me, Chris, you did a very stupid thing. Chris, you did a very stupid thing is, by the way, one of the most evergreen statements that has ever been made towards me. It pretty much defines my life. Chris, stupid thing. At 4:00 in about 25 minutes, something happened in yesterday's Pirates game that, for the life of me, like, it's being covered by pretty much every outlet that's covering it is doing so in sort of the same basic fashion with the same basic tone. And I cannot, for the life of me, understand the flippancy about this particular thing that happened. I'll tell you what that is at 4 o'clock. And just, I don't know. The whole theme of this show, sometimes if you know this show when Andrew is away on vacation, you know that sometimes there's a theme that arcs through the entirety of the show. Today's theme has been like sort of Chris transitioning into full dad with all dad beliefs and all dad mindsets and dad tendencies. And I feel like possibly early 20s Chris, even late teens Chris, would have found what happened yesterday, I think you can probably guess what it is, riotously funny. 34-year-old father who just got his second dog says, why? Why? We'll talk about that at 4 o'clock. Up next, there was one element of this weekend's sporting contests, varied though they were, that really stuck in my craw. And I'm not talking about the results of any game. I'm not talking about the Pirates coming up short two or three times against the Phillies. Not that. There was one thing that happened this weekend in sports up next that I think deserves to be called out for what it was, which was very bad and probably one of the things that would drive me the craziest if I was a professional athlete. I'm going to tell you what that is coming up next. Only a few foursomes are left for the rescheduled Fan Open. It's this Thursday at Manor Valley Golf Course. This Thursday, the 25th, you can visit 937thefan.com to get yours today before we sell out. It's brought to you by Bowser Chevrolet, Coors Light, Peace, Love, and Little Donuts, Jiggers Pub, and Penn Murray. And it's going to be sunny. It's going to be very sunny on Thursday. That is what my weather app tells me. Very sunny, very dry, pretty much every day but today. Today sucks. Woohoo, does today suck. I told you about puppy number two and was running around this morning and got home right before I came in. And I said to Alex, I said, this is what I'm talking about, by the way, the bad moms sort of comparison to running around all day doing different things, trying to make sure you give as much attention as you can to all the little ancillary stuff. I got the first dog, I got the older dog out. He peed back in the house, ran upstairs, get the other dog out of the crate because he sits in a crate. He can't be out. Got him to go. Tell him he's a very good boy. Within 2 minutes, the skies opened up after I got him back in the house. And that is a small victory that I am absolutely taking with me. Okay? Small victory. Speaking of small victories, you would think, this is one of my like tenets as a weekend golfer, as a guy that doesn't get out to play all that much anymore. I don't know about any of you, but many of you are probably like me insofar as you like golf, you wish you could play more golf, but you have responsibilities, and when you play golf, you don't really care if you're following a group that is four bad players in it. You just want them to play quickly, correct? If somebody is chopping up the course with what looks like a garden spade, and they can't hit the ball in the air, but at least they are just walking up to the shot, looking at it, lining up, and going. And it all, the whole shebang takes 10 seconds from address to pick up your bag and go. 15 seconds, we'll say. I'll be generous. You can live with that, right? They might suck. I've said this many times on the course. Hey, those guys ahead of us suck, but at least they're fast. J.B. Holmes, in pro terms, sucked out loud yesterday. He was terrible. What is the pro, adjusted for what pros usually shoot, amateur equivalent, like weekend warrior equivalent of shooting an 87, even in tough conditions, in a major? Is that like, and just relative to what all of his peers did, like shooting 145 if you're an amateur, like just a regular player? He shot 87, and he was Brooks Koepka's playing partner. And Brooks Koepka, who if you'll watch him, is pretty much a go-up, see-ball, hit-ball kind of guy. There is not a ton of extraneous thought there. He does not like slow play. He has made that very much known throughout his career. And he was belly-aching about old J.B. Holmes, who was... I mean, if you watched that tournament yesterday, you saw how slow he was playing. And I get it. You're on your way to shooting 87. You're probably like thinking about all the dollars flying away with every missed shot and every terrible play. So I get that you're trying to take your time to stop the bleeding. You start the round at minus 10, you end it at plus 6. It's terrible. But at one point, the camera, Scott Brooks Koepka, literally looking over at a rules official and tapping his watch. Like, what are you doing? Speed the guy up. There is nothing worse if you've played the sport on a recreational level than somebody playing slow. Many of us are not lucky enough to even shoot 87 in a random round of golf at say, Manor Valley. You couldn't do it. But I would hope that every one of us would play faster than JB was playing. I think if I was starting to play really poorly, like, I don't know, I've done this in rounds of golf I've played. Granted, that course in those conditions isn't the courses I'm playing. I would think I would just start going up to every shot and saying, screw it, I'm not even planning for this. I'm just going to step up and hit. How much worse could it get? I've agonized over every shot for the maximum amount of allowable time, and it's kind of a fluid thing on the PGA Tour to get put on the clock. It doesn't happen all that often because that's what they do. They start putting you on an actual clock if you're playing too slow, if you're falling too far behind. I think I would just start going up there slapping. I'd tell my caddy, like, he'd say, oh, you got, 209 to the pin. You're lying three. It's a par four. This is your fourth shot. Screw it. Give me whatever you want. 6 iron sounds great. I don't know if I can get it there. You could have given me the putter and I'd have swung. Isn't that what you do in that situation? Aren't you trying to get off the course as fast as humanly possible? You've got groups that are playing ahead of you, yes. But I would be dying to get off the course at that point if I were him. Oh, by the way, we have something else for you in this segment. So, I didn't tell you this, but if you did not hear the Cook and Pony Show, or the Cook and Pony, there it goes again, the Cook and Joe Show, where are my manners? It's Starkey and Muller. If you did not hear Cook and Joe today, you did not hear a very gratifying audio clip. Now, many of you like to debate the veracity, the truthfulness of my 9 straight three-pointer story, which is true, by the way. The story happened. It's a real thing that happened. I have no witnesses that can prove it. I don't know who the other 9 hungover guys were that were playing in that game that Saturday morning. I just know that it happened. I was there. I did it. And many of you have said, ooh, Chris, this is a whopper you're telling us. This is a fish story. Tell us about the other times you made 8 threes in a row, right? It's one of those deals. It's very much like the Loch Ness Monster of the fan, or Bigfoot. You either believe it or you don't. You either buy that this happened or you don't. It's an article of faith for fan listeners. Did Chris Muller hung over at a pickup game where no one was playing defense at Penn State, not exactly known as a basketball powerhouse, did Chris Muller make 9 straight three-pointers? Yes or no? You come down on one side of the line, there's no fence sitting, there's no hemming and hawing, you just say yes or no. And that is your opinion on the matter. Well, a guy that was an NBA lottery pick, widely regarded to be the best shooter in this year's draft, and a local kid to boot, Cam Johnson, he was on Cook and Joe today. And he answered the question. Let's hear it.
So we have a guy who hosts here, name of Chris Muller, hosts the afternoon show, who claims... He claims that in a pickup game at Penn State, he made 9 straight three-pointers on 9 straight trips down the court. Truth or lie? Wait, I say lie.
I'm going to say truth.
Really?
I got faith in him.
Oh, no.
He came down
one of us.
And he nailed 9 straight threes. Tell him I said it. I believe him. But I want to see him do it again.
Yeah. Yeah, so do I. I want to see footage of the first time.
Well, listen, no one asked anybody to walk on water twice, for example, okay? Nobody asked the loaves and fishes to be multiplied many times. They don't ask Nick Walenda to cross the Grand Canyon on a wire the second time. Right? They don't ask for this. Something like that happens, you just let it stand as a monument, but Cam Johnson believes. I'm glad he believes because it happened. Who else's backing do I need other than a guy described by pretty much every draft analyst as the best shooter in this year's draft? If it's good enough for Cam Johnson, I would say if you're a listener out there, a skeptic, a doubting Thomas, perhaps, it should be good enough for you. Good enough for Cam. Hold on. Play it again here. Hold on.
Truth.
Really?
I got faith in him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
I've got faith in him. Preceded by the word truth. And folks, if you've been doubting me on this, I have but one thing to say. The truth shall set you free. Fan weather right now is brought to you by Sun Chevy in McMurray. Join Sun Chevy for their all-star open house all month long and open the door to a new Chevy. Flash flood warning is in effect for Allegheny and surrounding counties till 4 o'clock. Be careful if you're out there. If you're in a place that's still getting pummeled by rain, don't be a hero. Don't drive the vehicle through the rain, through the standing water. Okay? Can't see the road. Stop. Anyway, much less warm today. High of 75 degrees, low near 60. It should be nice starting tomorrow. Should being the operative word there.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.